Morning. We have just an update on Loretta. She's moving to tomorrow, I guess, to the care home in Red Deer, or a care home in Red Deer, and the address is posted on the board at the back if anybody would like to visit her. Today we have Bethany service at 2 o'clock. Tom will be doing that. Next week, Friday Bible study, 7 here at the church. Sunday, 11 o'clock service and a potluck. Are there any other announcements, corrections, or prayer requests? Order of service today. Rafi will be doing the scripture reading from Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And we'll ask Neil to open in prayer. And Tom will bring us a message from Romans 8, verses 28 to 39. And we'll open with the hymn, In Christ Alone.
Reading from Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Thank you. Shall we open in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come together today to worship you, and we thank you once again for the ability to be here to worship and have a place of worship. We thank you for your love, as it's we just sang. That prayer pretty much is the, or that song is pretty much our prayer for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for giving us the ability to trust in you and have fellow travelers here to walk that road with each and one, every one of us. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us this week. We thank you for being our sustenance. And we just pray that you would be with us through the coming week. We pray that you would be with our governments, give them wisdom, get a hold of their hearts, Lord. We pray that you would enter some of them that don't have your wisdom, and that you would be evident in our governments and decisions as time goes by. We thank you for those who do have influence in our heads of government, and that you would be with them and give them strength to carry on. We also pray that you'd be with Tom this morning as he brings us the message, that you'd give him words of wisdom, that you'd give him understanding, and that you'd give us ears to be able to understand and to be able to follow along. Thank you for that. As we have someone to stand in front of us, that not everybody has that opportunity. So thank you for that. And we just pray that prayer that you've given us, Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be granted unto you by that Holy Spirit through this hour and day of worship. Amen. We can take our Bibles and turn them to Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. Most people or most individuals that I've heard speak, this 28th verse is usually the end of a thing, not the beginning. As you, we are God's children, goes from 8 to 28, and then nothing can separate us from God's love is 29. But I look at the 28th verse as a verse that includes the whole entire chapter. And I just wanted to share what has been revealed to me over times and years. And this is a subject and it can be complicated, but it's actually quite simple. And I'm going to try to simplify it the best I can through that word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And hopefully that the vessel here is going to honor it according to what God would want today. So we'll read the text and then we'll expound on it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is God that it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, as we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. If you have different versions of the Bible in that you read, you'll notice that this King James Version is a little different by one word in the first verse of the text. And we know that all things work together for good. It does not mean that all things are good. It means that all things work together for good, and God will allow those things to work together for good. And Christians will understand over a period of time how that happens, or they may not. But in this translation, the King James says, for good to them that love God. Well, in order to love God, you have to have been changed, regenerated, born again. You can't love God without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So, and to them who are the called, according to his purpose. Most versions just say called. This version says the called. And called in the Greek is kletos. And it's kind of like an invitation to a banquet or an invitation to a supper or a dinner or a summons. So what does that mean? Well, when God opens your heart so that you can respond to the gospel with the faith of Jesus Christ, you're the called. So let me say that again. When God opens your heart to respond to the gospel message with the faith of Jesus Christ, you're part of the called. And we are here to respond to the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. when we look at for whom he did foreknow, God foreknew everything. Before he created the world, he knew everything that was happening from the beginning of time to the end of time. Because he's God. He knows exactly what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, why it's going to happen, and he'll work things together for good for those who love God, for those who are the called according to his purpose. So for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. What does that mean? It's part of the sanctification process. Sanctification is to set you apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil, to make you different, to make you light in this world, where you can be light. You are set apart by that power of the Holy Ghost in you, so that you can expound on the good news of Jesus Christ, that he died and paid for your sins, he rose again 3 days later, and he defeated death, hell, and the devil. And at the same time, your sin was imputed in him on Calvary's cross, and you were imputed the righteousness of Christ, his perfect life. So through sanctification, you are being conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, meaning you'll be brethren to Christ, part of the family, sons and daughters of God. Now you have responsibility to be an example, an ambassador. You'll have the full armor of God to protect you from the assails of the devil. You'll have many, many things that God will allow for you to persevere. You will die daily to yourself. What does that mean? Your will, that will that is against God, the old man, the flesh, that wants to be in the world, that wants to be part of the world, that wants to partake in the world and the sin of the world. So, for he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. Justified is the simplest way to remember it, is just as if you've never sinned. Because the sins that you've partaken of have been paid for by the blood of Christ. So it's just as if you never did them. The life that you lived is, has been replaced by the life of Christ, meaning that you are perfect in his eyes. God sees you as perfect because you have faith. You have faith by hearing of the word of God, and you have knowledge of who God is, and you have the truth in the word. We also have not only the truth in the word, but we have the attributes of God. We can understand the attributes of God, that God is love, and through his love, he saved the whole world. The whole world didn't respond to it because their heart wasn't changed. So they're enemies to the cross. How does that happen? You can be raised in a Christian church from the time you're born till the time you're 20, and then all of a sudden you go on your ways a different way, maybe a prodigal. The influences of the world, the flesh, and the devil are strong. And if you continue in that, the company you keep, you continue in that, you will make choices the way the world, the flesh, and the devil does. And during the time that you're in the world, the flesh, and the devil, you will be making ungodly choices. If you do not recognize, like the prodigal did, that I need to and become undone, you will stay in the world. So I guess as young people, it's important to remember where you come from, especially if you've been grafted into an upbringing where Christianity is where it's at. Because it's very, very good to stay near to that. Meaning, just remember what's influencing you. Is the God of the Bible influencing you through his word, through the church, through the bride of Christ, more so than the world, the flesh, and the devil? And does it continue to do so? And the reason why I say that is because this is the the fork in the road, or it might be a T-intersection, you're making a choice. The influences of God the Father and the church, are they stronger than the world, the flesh, and the devil? You're going to turn left or right. If you're being influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil, you're going to turn the way that is directing you. Because your influences is what makes you choose what you want to choose. So as a youth, it's important to be recognizing where you're at as a young age. You might not be brought into a Christian church. You might have been raised with no church at all. But that doesn't stop God from planting the seed, the good news of Christ. So you might have met somebody, or you were influenced by somebody else later on in life that goes to church, and they've asked you to come to church, or you might have just met a friend at work and he starts talking about the Bible, or whatever it is. That's God's calling. That God is using that person, that son and daughter in Christ, to influence that person to come into the sheepfold. It's important that we recognize where the enemy is working and where God is working. So moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, them he glorified. Glorified means God glories in his children. I'll say that again. He glories in his children. The ones who believe in the work of the cross, the ones who have responded to the gospel message of salvation, the ones who produce and bear fruit, the ones who tell the story of Jesus Christ, the ones who go to every tribe, tongue, and nation and proclaim what Jesus did. And they have the testimony of themselves, of the change within themselves, how God got them from A to Z or A to B, depending on where they are in their sanctification process. And then we look at verses 31 to 35. And there's seven questions that are asked here. What shall we say then to these things? What shall we say to these things? If we are the called, if we're being influenced by God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the church, the bride of Christ, the spiritual seed of Abraham, if we bring influence more so by that groups of people than the world, the flesh, and the devil, then we are in. And we're confident. And we're bearing fruit. But there's going to be a pull on your heartstrings to go into the world. There's going to be a pull to do the things of the world and to do the things that God hates. And we've got to fight against that. Does that ever change? No. The battle is always on. The battlefield is the actual armor of God we have to have on. Every day we wake up in the morning, the battle is there. There's influences in the world that we need to steer clear of. Pornography has never been more influential in the past since the we've got the cell phone than it ever has been. It's a disastrous thing to get involved in or to ever be part of. There's things out there that we just need to steer clear of, because it'll influence you to go down a path that you don't want to go down, right? We are thankful that we have the Christians here in this church. Why are we thankful? Because hopefully they'll hold us accountable when we do wrong. That's the roles of brothers and sisters in Christ. If we do wrong, to hold us accountable. And when we do wrong, to admit we've done wrong. And to say, you know what, I messed up. I made a mistake. Don't excuse it. Don't say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, according to this, if you've received the life of Christ, how does God see you? Pure, holy, and blameless is the bride presented to the bridegroom in eternity future. That's the standard. We don't see each other that way, but he does. And the question we can ask each Christian you can ask yourself this question: Why did he call me? And if the first response is because I, then you have the wrong thought process. We have nothing to offer. It's because he called. It's because he loves. It's because he saves. It's not because we, and it's because he gave us the ability to respond to the message through the grace of a heart that was broken, lowly, and contrite, through a heart that had nowhere to turn, and to a heart that was just looking up for help. That happens to the person that grace enters, faith begins, and your walk with Christ and the fruits thereof prosper. Who shall say anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. How did God justify it? He sent his Son to pay for our sins. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died and paid for every sin and was willingly participant in the fact that he did do what the Father's will 100% of the time. There is therefore no condemnation for those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Is that something you strive for? No, that is something that you believe because you were called of God. Do we always walk after the Spirit? No, we don't. We fail. We fail daily. But the fact that we stand and we war against it and we admit when we make mistakes, that's a good thing. Who is he that condemneth if it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? So God, Jesus the Son, is making intercession for the called of Christ. When we mess up, he's making intercession. When we pray, he's making intercession. When we confess, he's making intercession. When we repent, he's making intercession. Because he's brethren, he's our brethren. We have basically a lawyer on our side, a righteous lawyer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Let's just stop there. The love of Christ. It's not how much you love him. It's how much he loves you. The person, the people that have nothing to offer. That's who he loves. Sinners saved by grace. Because when you take a sinner and make him into a saint, there's a level of glory there that he receives. If you take a saint and make him do a saint, there's no level of glory. That's why he does it that way. That's one of the reasons why he does it. He takes the runt of the litter and makes him the strongest. Because it brings him glory to do so. And it's all through the love of Christ. And he gives examples here. It says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who brings the tribulation? God allows tribulation. God allows distress. God allows persecution. God allows famine. God allows nakedness. God allows peril. And God allows sword. Why? It's part of the sanctification process to conform you to the image of his Son. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, It's naked. You. It was naked how you came, and it's naked how you leave. You're not taking anything with you, peril or sword. God allows these things so that you become stronger, become wiser, become more loving, become more compassionate, become more of a person, and become more like Christ. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted for as sheep for the slaughter. If we look in the fifth chapter of Matthew, and we're studying this in Bible study on Fridays. This is what the called are signed up for. So if you're looking at a job description of a Christian, it's something that God has signed you up for. And this is what it looks like. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit because they sin and they mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Comforted by the Holy Ghost that dwells inside them. By the church that they go to. By the bride that supports them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You started out broken, lowly, and contrite. And you gained meekness. So you don't criticize somebody else that's broken, lowly, and contrite because you've been there. You've seen it. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You have a thirst and a hunger to know more about Jesus. How much he loves us and how much he values truth and how much he is just and how much he is all-powerful and sovereign and how much he is omnipotent, omniscient, and how much he is just God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you portray a person that is merciful to your enemies? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. When impurity is there, they recognize it like it's right there. That's impure. And they fight against it. Because they know it's pure, because they know Christ. Pure, holy, and blameless is God's responsibility to create the bride for his son. And he will do exactly that because he's all-powerful, all-knowing. We see us as not so perfect. But he is creating a bride for his son. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Bible says, "Live, if it be possible, live peaceably amongst all men." We're peacemakers. We try to put ourselves in the other person's situation. Apostle Paul was the greatest. That was one of his greatest gifts. He could see the other person. He could put himself in their shoes, and he could try to understand them, and he'd ask the right questions, and he'd get the response that he wants because he was gifted that way. Do we do that? Can we put ourselves in the other person's shoes? What's the first question you ask somebody you don't know? Well, what's your name? Where are you from? What are your parents like? Things like that, you'll get to know the person. Do you go to church? Do you not go to church? What do you believe in? You can get a whole bunch of different aspects. Ask questions that can't be answered yes or no. They have to actually expound on them. and push through it so that you can glean from that person and get to know that person. Because you want to know them, because if you know their reputation, all you know is their reputation. If their reputation is ungodly, you don't know the circumstances that have caused that reputation. You need to get into the mud with them so that you can find out from their heart what happened, so that they can be cleansed by the love of Christ and so that you can love them. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're going to be persecuted, and we are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What is righteous? What is unrighteous? Do you know the difference? Jesus is righteous. The Bible is righteous. Anything against promoting or propagating something that is against the Bible is unrighteous. We need to know it so that we can fight against what's being propagated in the world. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. That is the total opposite of what the world would say. I remember when I worked for McDonald's, they would say, for every negative thing you say to a person, you have to say 4 positives to balance it out. I was never good at that. I'd be lucky to do 1-to-1. The world would say, build them up so they can see good in themselves, and then they can see how good it is, and then they can move to a successful part of life. You can build them up, but hopefully you see the God in themselves, because God has to be there for them to be good. Without the Holy Ghost, we're not good, and we can't do good. So if somebody is reviling you instead of complimenting you because you're standing on the Word of God, you're blessed. All manner of evil, sisters, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets before you. All the called before you that God signed up these people for, they receive the Beatitudes too. That is something that you will be part and parcel of. As it is written, for thy sake we are all killed all the day long. We are all counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. The molding of the clay vessel by the potter's hands. To make us stronger, to make us more persuasive in the Word, to give us the ability to draw people through the Word. And it says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, O Lord. God will love you the way he loves you eternally. There's a hell to gain or not to gain. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There are people that go to hell. God loves them, but they never at one point, or maybe they did, but they never were influenced enough of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus the Son. They were more influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they delighted in it, and they loved it, and then it became an enemy of God to the point where they became a reprobate. That's what happens. Or we stay in the sheepfold because that's what we know. We know the truth of God. We know that the God our Father sent his Son to save us, because he's a savior. He's the savior of the world. And he was responsible and willing to do anything it took to bring all the called home. And we will get it to, we will make it home because of him. If I asked any one of you in this room, I said, what's the recipe to keeping yourself saved? Nobody could give me a recipe, and I couldn't either. But in 1 Peter, it does. It gives us a recipe to be saved. And we'll close with that. 1 Peter 1. One to nine. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, Sylvan Lake. You name the place. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification, set apart from the world, the flesh, and the devil by the Holy Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You've received the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you believe in the work of the cross, that blood saves you. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to this abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus is alive and living through us, through the believers, through the called. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through the faith that he gave you unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There it is. You're kept by the power of God. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We have to fight against this world, flesh, and the devil every day and die to ourselves, to the sin that is so close to us, to the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil that's so close to us. We have to die to that. Temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, when Jesus comes. Whom having not seen, we haven't seen Christ, but for some reason you love him. Because he's your all in all. Because you've been influenced by the word of God, the church of God, the bride of Christ. You're part of the spiritual seed of Abraham and you're the called. You're being influenced. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom thou now ye see him. Though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with a joy unspeakable, unspeakable, and full of glory. Yet believing, the gift of faith, believing in God, what he says he's going to do, he does. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You are so joyful that you're his and you're not Satan's. You're his. And God is a jealous God and he will put obstacles in your way so that you make the right choices. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Saved by the power of God unto salvation. Young ones, I urge you. Be concerned about the company you keep as you get older. Be concerned about the influences that are influencing you in a godly way. Because with the company you keep, you want to have you want to have people that cherish you. If they're building you up in a godly way, that's good company. If they're saying, let's do something different, they call it fun. Let's do some fun. Let's go have some fun here and do this. And you know that's not right. If you step down that path, you might have 5-10 years that you've wasted, when you could have been enjoying the fruits of the bride of Christ. It's such an important part of life, because just in my past, I know from the time I was probably 12, 11 years old till the time I was probably 26, 27, it was pretty well a waste of life. And was it a total waste? No. There's some hard lessons learned, and there's some choices that I wish I'd never made. But it's so important to know the Word at a young age, to know the rock at a young age, and to stand on solid ground, because then you're not being influenced as much as somebody that isn't. Read your Bibles. And it's read your Bibles to the point where ask God to help you read them. Give you the desire to read them. It's not easy to read your Bible. It isn't. It's not easy for me to read my Bible. But gets to a point where that word becomes something that it's almost like a steak sandwich. You can't get enough of it. You can't get enough of it. Because you're learning more and more about Jesus, more and more about God, and more about the Holy Ghost through the reading of the Word, through the company you keep. If somebody's not building you up, they're cutting you down in the world. And most people build you up in the world to do exactly that, to cut you down. Whereas the bride of Christ builds you up, because you fall, but they're continuing to build you up. That's the process. Anyway, this Romans chapter means a lot to me, because it's a chapter that I've looked at many times, but I've never spoken on it. And I just wanted you to be confident in the potter and in his hands. He's molding and making you the way you should be, but he's not allowing you to sin. That's a hard thing to put your head around. You're responsible for your sin. But he's paid for that. But at the same time, if sin isn't exceedingly sinful, pray that it is. Stay clear of it. And the love of God will be such a joy to you. Such a joy to you when you know who God is, you know who Jesus is, and you know the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 582.